What if I told you the reality you know is one of many?
Hello and welcome to episode 138 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff and here are my co-hosts Christy Pechko and Angie Han.
Hey everybody.
Hi.
Alrighty, so this week we have two reviews for you. We are doing a mini review of the new movie Loving, and then we're going to follow it up with the big one of the week. It's Doctor Strange. So first off is Loving. Angie, you've got that one.
All right, here is the IMDb synopsis for Loving. Richard and Mildred Loving, an interracial couple, are sentenced to prison in Virginia in 1958 for getting married. So this is the new drama by Jeff Nichols, and it is based on an actual Supreme Court case, Loving v. Virginia. I realize that a lot of people think it's just like Loving, like, oh, they love each other. But no, it's actually named after the people in it who are real people. And it stars Joel Edgerton and Ruth Negga. I caught this one at TIFF, and I really liked it. Like, in Jeff Nichols, in typical Jeff Nichols fashion, instead of kind of going like the dramatic, like expected route, it's very, very toned down in a way that I thought actually made it even more powerful.
That's probably why I didn't really love the movie. I'm definitely in the minority on this one, and I'm not going to say it's a bad movie, because it most certainly isn't. It's a beautifully shot movie, the performances are fantastic, and this is definitely a story that needs to be told. But similar to my reaction to most of Jeff Nichols' films, I feel terrible saying this when it's such an incredible story, but I was kind of bored the entire time.
I mean, honestly, I can see that. And I'm not one of those people that's always in the bag for Jeff Nichols. Like, sometimes I like him, sometimes I didn't love Midnight Special. And I know I was in the minority on that one.
You were with me.
Yeah, yes. I liked Midnight Special a lot. I didn't get to see Loving in time to review it, so less I. But yeah, no, that's interesting, though, because Nichols is known for making very kind of intimate and slow, I think would be fair to say, movies.
So far, the only movie of his that I've come out just outright loving it, see what I did there, is Mud.
I mean, you're not wrong that this is kind of slow, but to me, I thought that actually worked in the film's favor, because it's really easy to imagine like the dramatic version, like the dramatic kind of more, you know, by the numbers version of this story, where it's like, you know, this like grand sweeping moment and, you know, people making dramatic proclamations and lots of like Oscar-baiting monologues and stuff. And what I liked about this movie is that it didn't do that. And I think that actually, for me, I completely get, like, you know, it is very slow and like it feels almost like nothing happens, which is crazy because it's a movie where, you know, it's about like a really momentous Supreme Court case. But I thought it really worked in the film's favor, because to me, it kind of showed why, like, the way that this court case really affected the lives of people in, like, you know, on like an everyday basis. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, there was before this court case and there was after this court case and like everything changed. It's like it felt like kind of like everything changed and nothing didn't. Like, you know, the couple in the movie already has a life together. Like, they have kids together by the time the Supreme Court case, spoiler alert, comes down in their favor. But like throughout the movie, you've seen how the fact that their relationship is not legitimized kind of affects like everything they do in really subtle ways. But on top of that, I mean, I also just thought like Ruth Edgerton,
you just combined
Joel Edgerton in this movie is really good. He's an actor that, like, you know, I don't love, but I thought he was really good in this. But Ruth Negga, oh my God, like,
she's just the greatest. And, yeah, like, seeing her in something like this as opposed to, let's say, Preacher, I mean, holy shit, she's got range. She can do just about anything. I'd love to watch her in anything at this point.
What about Warcraft? She was in Warcraft.
She was. She was like Lady Obama in Warcraft.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there.
So you were lying when you said you would love to watch her in anything, huh?
I actually don't even really, like, who was she in Warcraft?
She was the queen, the human queen. That, like, you were like, wait, is that her brother or her husband? Because they had, like, a weird
opposite Dominic Cooper, her Preacher co-star and real-life boyfriend. But now we're going off on a tangent.
Okay. Well, anyway, Ruth Negga should be in every other great movie. Does that eliminate
that works,
the possibility of future Warcraft movies? But yeah, I'm, like, hesitant to start, like, tearing it apart in a way, because, like, I do think it's a well-made movie in so many respects. It's just, something didn't click with me, and it definitely could be partially because I found it so slow and, you know, my attention was wandering, and maybe because of that. It's not that, I don't want to say my attention was wandering and I wasn't paying attention to the movie. I was paying attention the entire time, but I see what you're saying with it it feeling like nothing happened while this changed history so significantly. I guess I just didn't feel like I really knew them beyond the situation that they were in. It's like I bought that the two of them loved each other, but I don't know. I didn't really see much beyond wow. that. Yeah,
I disagree with that so much because I think the part of so Jeff Nichols, like I said, is kind of hit or miss. But the reason I loved this one is that it really resonated with me emotionally, and a lot of the reason it's the complete opposite of what you said. Like I felt like yeah. I got such a good sense of like who these characters are. I felt like I really got to know them and kind of live in their relationship with them.
It makes me sad because that is very much the general consensus, and that's what I wanted out of this movie, out of this kind of story. I think that's really important and special when you're telling something like this, but I kind of like couldn't connect and I couldn't get in their headspace really, and I'm trying so hard not to sound like, oh, this is a terrible movie.
But no, I know.
It's not. It's difficult to articulate that. And I had the same problem with reviewing Midnight Special as well. There were so many things in that I saw. I was able to see what people admired about it. It just didn't do it for me. And I have the same exact feeling about this one.
I guess agree to disagree. I mean, I would recommend this movie, but I would warn people that it is slow. And I think Perry can agree with that general sentiment, yeah?
Yes, I can. All right. So there's our review on Loving. Now we're rolling into the big one. It is the latest in the MCU. It is Doctor Strange. Here is the IMDb synopsis for that one. A former neurosurgeon embarks on a journey of healing only to be drawn into the world of the mystic arts. Okay.
Sure.
That's a very basic synopsis. So I basically, you probably know what Doctor Strange is. It's Benedict Cumberbatch as the brand new MCU superhero being added into the mix. My favorite thing about Doctor Strange, actually two favorite things, is one, it definitely felt like Marvel was taking a major risk. This is a drastically different superhero than we've seen in previous movies, primarily because of what he's capable of. And I see you making faces at me. Even though people can only hear our conversation, I can see Angie making stinky faces at me. But, you know, we're talking about, I think they've said it in quotes before, how the other guys are, you know, they're dealing with, like, physical problems, whereas Doctor Strange operates on the mystical planes. And having the guts to introduce that into the MCU, and I think to introduce it pretty well, is quite the achievement. And I also think Doctor Strange works exceptionally well on just a character introduction level.
I think the second thing that you're going to say that you loved was Cape.
I have been corrected already. It is not a cape. It is a cloak. And yes, love cloak. That's like, I love lamp. I love cloak.
I'm actually really surprised, Perry, that you said you thought this was a good introduction of the character, because I totally disagree. I think it's the Iron Man introduction in that they introduce Doctor Strange and he's this selfish asshole who has a lot of money and only cares about himself, blah, blah, blah. So that could potentially work because it worked for Iron Man. And as much as I've enjoyed Benedict Cumberbatch in other things, he does not have that kind of volatile bad boy charm that Downey Jr. has. And so it didn't work for me. I just kept watching and being like, you're an asshole. Why does anyone deal with you?
And he is an asshole, like, that's the point.
No, I get that's the point, but we still have to like him. And I just didn't want to spend any time with him.
I definitely saw the Tony Stark comparisons. I mean, it's impossible not to, but I still think they made him his own character. And I think Benedict Cumberbatch, I mean, God, is he mesmerizing on screen. It didn't matter if he was similar to Tony Stark to me. It didn't matter if he was a total asshole. I was totally into what he was doing at the beginning. And then I really did buy the transformation and the journey throughout the movie.
See, to me, it just seemed like he was doing a prolonged impersonation. Sorry, Edgy. It just seemed like he was doing a prolonged impersonation of Hugh Laurie from House. Like, down to the accent, down to the, like, I'm a doctor who likes to fix things, blah, blah, blah. Like, it just felt really...
I felt so bad for him because, I mean... So, like, the way I was able to connect to his character is I kept thinking, given what we do, like, could you imagine losing the ability to, I don't know, to like see or something? It's something he's so passionate about. His whole existence is his work and what he's doing. And then his freaking hands are crushed. And like, my heart genuinely broke for him, thinking, like, what if I lost the ability to do what I love in the same sense? I thought it was the perfect starting off point to make me actually understand and feel for this total asshole.
I get what you're saying in theory, like, on paper, I'm like, no, I could see that, but I don't think that the movie did a good job of really. So basically, I've been describing the character to people who've asked, like, how's Doctor Strange? I'm like, he's basically like Tony Stark minus Robert Downey Jr.'s charisma, and it's like, yeah, that's not a good thing, because the reason Tony Stark works is because, like, Robert Downey Jr. is just so irresistibly charming that despite the fact that he's a complete asshat, you enjoy him, and I did not get that from him. But I think the other thing is, like, you were saying, like, how you were really impressed at what a risk this is for Marvel and how original it is, and, like, on some level I agree. It is very, like, to me the best parts were the action scenes, which genuinely do look really different from anything that we've seen from Marvel, and it is kind of interesting to add this other component to this universe that we know so well. But in every other respect, this felt so disappointingly familiar. Like, first of all, we've been talking about how Doctor Strange is basically a carbon copy of Tony Stark, but also just, like, like, it, not only that, but Marvel has done the, like, kind of, arrogant person gets knocked down a peg, learns to be selfless thing, like, four times now. That was also Thor's character arc. That was also Star-Lord's character arc. So, it's not even just that he's like Tony Stark. It's that we've seen it over and over. And also just the whole origin story, just, like, it. Again, it just feels like we've seen so many origin stories from Marvel. Like, this doesn't really feel that different from them, despite the fact that all the window dressing has changed. And on top of that, like, I get what they were trying to do with the characters around him, but for example, like, Mordo has an arc that sounds like it should be interesting, but it's all, like, kind of telling, not showing. So I don't think it really comes across as well as you would want it to.
Well, I will reiterate. I think Doctor Strange works great as a character piece and as a origin and origin story.
Agree
The
to
one
disagree.
of well, one of the weakest parts of the movie to me was that, there was really no point to a good deal of the supporting characters and even to the villains as well. The only one I give a pass to because I found her very charming and I liked their scenes together was Rachel McAdams, and because I thought she served his character in a good way, where she brought out things in him that I
I
needed to
totally
see.
agree with that. I wrote in my review for CBR that if they were going to go this way with it, where they were not getting someone who has, like, Robert Downey Jr. style charm, and I like Cumberbatch and I think he is charming, but he's not that kind of charming. So I thought, well, then they needed to do what they did with Sherlock, which is that Sherlock is, a high functioning sociopath, and he's not inherently likable because he's so unrelatable. So you need a John Watson or someone who kind of cajoles the softer side out of them so that we see their humanity. And Rachel McAdams is that character. But that's actually part of why it doesn't work, is because she's barely in the movie. She's only in, like, the very beginning and then peaks here and there. And I did like her, but I hate every aspect of the fact that we're supposed to believe they're in love with each other. Like, why can a man and a woman not just be friends in a Marvel movie? Why is it that no matter how awkward or lacking of chemistry they have, Ant-Man, in the end they have to be like, you, like, I just can't with this shit, guys. I can't. Like, I know I have a
Can't.
vagina, and
Okay.
so I'm supposed to want a love story above all things, but, like, it's just, they don't have chemistry. I thought she was great. I thought she was really funny. I genuinely think one of the most authentic moments in the film is when he, like, evaporates basically, and, like, a bucket falls and she jumps, because I thought, like, yeah, this is a world I understand. And I.
Okay, two things. First of all, a man and a woman can just be friends. That was Captain America and Black Widow's whole thing in Winter Soldier. They were just
Very good
buddies. So,
point.
it is apparently possible. But yeah, so that bucket thing that you were saying, I like that scene. On the other hand, though, you're just like, so was there just a fucking open portal in the mop closet of the hospital the whole time? What if somebody needed a fucking mop? And the whole movie is full of things like that, where it just kind of feels like they did not really think this through. Like, I'm like, I appreciate what you're trying to do, Marvel, by adding this in, but it, like, this. So, like, for example, Guardians of the Galaxy feels like it's really far, far removed from something like Captain America, and that's by design. But I don't think that Doctor Strange really feels like a fleshed out world. It doesn't feel like part of this world. It doesn't feel like its own world. It just kind of feels like a bunch of ideas that someone pasted together without thinking too hard about it.
It was so working for me within the context of the movie, but what you're bringing up right now does have me concerned for the future of the MCU. I was satisfied where I wasn't questioning too much, although we will get to my one big question when we get to the spoiler section of this review. But I don't really see how they're going to introduce what they've done in this movie into the other MCU movies and have it all make sense and have me believe it all still going forward.
It doesn't even make sense within this movie a lot of the time. Like, I remember, like, I can't think of anything specific off the top of my head, but I know when I came out of the theater, I was, like, talking to Christine, like, the other people who were in the theater with me about it, and we just had so many, like, wait, so was this supposed to, wait, what? Well, like, hold on a second.
The point of confusion is mainly the villain, who I like Mads Mikkelsen as the villain. I'm not going to get into spoilers, but I like Mads Mikkelsen as the villain because he has this face that just whatever is happening in it, I'm interested, I want to be there, and I liked the weird makeup, I liked the idea of the character, I like the one joke that he has, that it's like one of the few jokes in the movie that works, where he calls him Mr. Doctor, and I'm not going to ruin the punchline, but when you actually try to dig down to why he's doing what he's doing and what he hopes to do, I have no fucking idea. Like,
yeah, I didn't really know what his agenda was the entire movie. I just liked the way he looked.
Right, he just becomes another forgettable Marvel villain. And how much does that suck?
I liked the way he looked, and, you know, I like Mads Mikkelsen, but what really kind of, you know, put the nail in the coffin with the villain for me, or his villain, was something else that I think we're going to have to leave for spoilers. So right now, we're going to roll into our spoiler section for Doctor Strange. If you have not seen the movie, I recommend seeing it. Go have fun with it. It's not the best Marvel movie ever, but I still really enjoyed it and think they did a great job introducing this character. Do you guys feel differently?
I would say,
I think if you're a Marvel completist, which I am, then you should watch it. It's not, like, horrible, but it is, I think, it's honestly my least favorite Marvel first film. Like, you know, like, Thor 2 I didn't love or whatever, but, like, Thor I like better, like, in terms of movies that introduce new Marvel characters, I think that this is the weakest one.
Unless we're going back to Hulk, yeah, this is just weak. It's, I'm not saying don't see it, it's fine, but that's kind of my problem. Like, Marvel movies have made us come to expect such grandiose spectacle, such interesting characters, such amazing star power. This doesn't live up to that.
I will say, though, if you're gonna watch it, like, spring for the 3D, honestly, the kind of spacey action is pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't like the 3D. I thought it was distracting. But I'm actually just gonna say, manage your expectations is my advice. Before we go into spoilers, manage your expectations.
Okay, so there's your warning. So spoilers. My biggest problem with the movie overall, by far, something that ruined Mads Mikkelsen's character for me, is this Dormammu. And Dormammu.
You're probably saying it right. It's just the stupidest fucking name of the ever.
I don't know. But anyway, I don't even know how to describe. Like, is it a he? Is it a creature? I don't freaking know.
It's kind of like a Thanos, too, right? I read that.
He's kind of like a Thanos looking thing that exists in space or in another place. I don't
Purple's
freaking
evil,
know,
guys. Purple is an evil color.
It's one of those things that feels like the boss level in a game. It's like you're beating the main villain the entire time, and then it's like they have to throw in some bigger threat, and that bigger threat completely ruins any scare factor that Mads Mikkelsen's character had. It's like Mads Mikkelsen was like a freaking ant you could squash with your foot compared to Dormammu, and I wish you could see like my impression of Dormammu right now, but I didn't understand how that character really fit. It made no sense to me at all. There's one like cool and clever fight scene between him and Doctor Strange, yeah. But I really thought the introduction of Dormammu pretty much almost ruined the end of the movie for me.
Well, for me, it was...
I literally thought Dormammu was Thanos. Like, I wasn't sure, because I was like, I know they're calling him Dormammu, but he looks fucking a lot like Thanos, and he hangs out in space surrounded by nothing, just like Thanos. Yeah. So I was honestly like pretty confused. Like, okay, to be clear, I know that in the comics they're two different characters, but that's not to say that the Marvel universe can't like mash them together. So I wasn't sure. I did actually like the way that I liked the way that the movie resolves with like Doctor Strange actually kind of figures out a clever way using powers that are specific to him for how he can defeat Dormammu. So I did like that. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, like you find out that the villain is a guy who is evil for the sake of being evil. Like, it is a letdown.
Yeah. And I like, I like that end beat, like the little showdown they have. That was the first time I was like, oh, I like this Doctor Strange because he's kind of a dick, but he's a dick for good. But it's like, you know, it took till the final act.
It's too little, too late.
Huh?
It's too little, too late.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying that you have to, like, I'm not saying this character is a loss, but I was quite disappointed because I like Benedict Cumberbatch. I love Tilda Swinton. I like Scott Derrickson. And I do like what he brought to this film in that I thought that the trippy scenes and stuff that they have in here were really fun, though I think the 3D made it hard to watch. But I felt like there's just not enough here. It just, the jokes that they have are a drier wit than Marvel normally has, and I don't think they nail them, because in the screening we went to, you just kept hearing this, like, you know, you could basically hear crickets every time Benedict Cumberbatch tried to crack a joke where he's like, you're like Adele or Eminem, just like chirps. That's one impression I can't do is crickets, yeah. Guys.
Well, some of the humor here definitely felt like it was shoehorned in after the fact, but I almost forgot. Now that we're talking about spoilers, I can bring this up as well. So I don't know if it's fair to judge, considering it's one of the post-credit scenes, but the post-credit scene with the Chiwetel Ejiofor's character Mordo also really bothered me. And it's actually one of the only times I can remember a post-credit scene kind of ruining a character for me.
Oh no, but that happened. It happened in Green Lantern, which was literally the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
I've seen that once, because... and I've completely erased that from my mind. But the whole point of Mordo is he's supposed to have a pretty damn significant arc throughout this entire movie, and I didn't track that.
No.
Almost, I saw little bits of it, and I saw what they were trying to do, but they were not successful with that one in the least. So then when you get to that ending, it's probably one of the worst setups for a character in a future movie I've ever seen.
I completely agree, because, like, throughout the movie, you never actually see that much of who he is or what drives him or what his history is. You kind of have other characters comment, like, oh, he's very rigid. And you're like, okay, can I maybe see that?
Yeah.
Like, maybe see it for myself. Like, and then they're like, you know, but he's like, he's got, like, a really strong moral center. I'm like, again, can I maybe see that so that it lands at all? I think they're trying to set him up to be, like, a Loki-like figure almost, like a kind of sidekick that turns into a villain. But they give you so little. Like, Chiwetel Ejiofor is trying really hard, and I think he's actually, I kind of wish that they had switched the roles, because I think he would have been a better Doctor Strange, and he brings a lot, like, it's Chiwetel Ejiofor, so he still tries to bring a lot to this movie. But yeah, and then to have, like, the final villain turn happen in the end credits,
yeah,
like, that feels like such a cheat.
Well, also, mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as they posted images of him online and it came out that he was playing Mordo, I knew that he was eventually going to be a bad guy, because the internet lost its fucking mind. I don't read Doctor Strange comics, but I knew that because that's known that Mordo is a bad guy. So as soon as it was announced, everybody started talking about it. So then the whole movie, I'm watching for that arc, expecting that to happen. So the end reveal, one, is not a reveal, even if you know the most basic stuff about Doctor Strange. And two, doesn't work because they don't develop that arc, as we've said. And it's such a waste of Chiwetel Ejiofor. Like, he's a fascinating actor who has such a great face for drama. But in this film, he has, what is his accent? What is he doing? I don't know what's happening.
I don't know.
And it's like him, you don't need him and the Ancient One is the problem. Because you have two, like, mystical figures who keep talking about the other world and blah, blah, blah. And they don't have any arcs. They don't have anything to do aside from to constantly exposition dump on Doctor Strange or to tell him, like, you're very selfish, but you could do so much more. And it's just, it's a waste of the characters. It's a waste of the actors. It's such a fucking bummer.
I would throw Wong into there too. We don't need all
Wong
three of them.
Wong is only there, and we know this. Wong is only there because otherwise you don't have an Asian character with lines.
And because if you're going to turn Mordo into a villain, then Strange needs to have a sidekick. All the Marvel characters have sidekicks.
Right.
That's, yeah. So
I mean,
it really just feels
Wong's
like he's
credit,
there.
He's very funny as the straight man in this movie, which is the problem. Is kind of everybody's the straight man, but he's very funny in dealing with Doctor Strange's douchiness, and I did enjoy that. But, like, when I heard that, like, you know, oh, well, we added more stuff in because blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, yeah, because otherwise it is, you know, as people have been talking about for months, it is a movie in which they take a great deal from, like, kind of a hodgepodge of Asian culture. And then it's all about people that aren't Asian.
Look, I want to talk about that, but we really need to wrap up. So,
yeah. Any closing thoughts before? I mean, again, I still recommend it because I think Benedict Cumberbatch is great in the role.
This is the first time I've walked out of a Marvel movie and been like, you know what, I think I'm good on, like, Doctor Strange sequels. It's the first time I've walked out of a new character introduction and been like, I'm really not looking forward to seeing him hang out with the Avengers. Mm-hmm. It's the first time I've walked out, like, seeing that end credit scene that suggests he's in Thor 2 or Thor 3 and being like, Do we have to? So, like, I feel like, you know, like, Perry, I know you like the character, but I really, I don't hate
which
him.
Is,
but it's
which is why I think I agree with you on not wanting to see another Doctor Strange movie, but I am very much looking forward to him popping up in other movies.
I'm not. Guys, I'm really bummed. I like Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, I was, you know, I'm quote-unquote Sherlocked. I love that show. I think he's very handsome, but this is kind of dampening my crush. It felt so off. It felt so off-brand for Marvel. Like, the spectacle is okay. The action scenes are kind of a mess. The characters aren't that great. It's fine, and I think if you love Marvel movies, then you kind of have to see this, because otherwise you're missing, like, puzzle pieces to this bigger world. But my advice is really just manage your expectations. I said in my review, this is Marvel at its mediocre, and I mean that. It's like a B-minus movie for me.
Aw. All right. Well, sorry, sad note. That's a wrap on episode 138 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You guys know what to do. Head on over to iTunes, and that's where you can subscribe, rate, and comment. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter, @PopcornProsecco. Please like us on Facebook as well. And then all three of us are all over the internet. Christy, do you want to take it first?
Sure. I write all over the internet, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com. I'm on Twitter, @ChristyPuchko. That's KristyPuchko. And lately, I'm on It's Eric Nagel, which is a radio show and podcast. So check us out there, where we talk about all kinds of weird shit. Last week, I talked about the time I thought I was going to get murdered in Maine. So, you know, if you can't get enough of my rando rants here, there's plenty of that on that show.
Well, that's a good plug. Angie, where can people find you?
Well, now mine's going to sound really disappointing and unimpressive, but if you absolutely feel the need to find me, I'm on
Twitter. If you feel the need to find Angie and look at a whole ton of Jai Courtney giffies, then follow her on Twitter @AJHAN.
Okay, that was a great plug. And then I write for Slash Film, where I don't write about Jai Courtney that often.
Not nearly as much as she wishes to.
And you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram @PNemiroff, on Collider.com, and the Collider Videos YouTube channel. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.